I'm Jane Johnson, and you're listening to the Careering into Motherhood podcast. This is the last in our series of talks about career change for the time being, and my guest is Ayesha Murray, former corporate marketing executive and now podcaster and career coach. Ayesha talks about the moment she realised she just couldn't keep doing the job she was doing on her hamster wheel, as she calls it, and how she worked through the process to find a new path, and how she evaluated the amount of risk she was going to take in changing jobs first, how coaching helped her to work through some things, and particularly to work out her why, which is especially important when we go on to talk about this really interesting subject of your personal brand and just how interesting that is when you're changing jobs or starting something new. Just before we get into the interview, if you're enjoying the podcast, please do check out our website. We have loads of free coaching tools and articles written by our professional coaches. And if you're thinking about having some coaching, life coaching or career coaching, and you don't quite know where to start, then our website is a pretty good place. We have 50 coaches on the site now, and their fees, their expertise, their experience and qualifications are all listed on their profile pages. So it's totally transparent and you can find the right coach for you. Now let's get this interview started. Ayesha, I am really happy to have you on the podcast. I'm really looking forward to this interview, not least because you have your own very successful podcast, and I might get some top tips myself.
Thank you.
So you are also, as well as a successful podcaster, you are a career coach and one of our partner coaches with Careering into Motherhood. So that's all very exciting. What did you do in your world before you became a podcaster and career coach? What's your background?
I love the fact you're calling me a podcaster. It makes I never thought I'd have.
You are. Your podcast has been ranked in the top 10 podcasts.
10%, yeah, globally, which is just, we can talk about how that happened because I have no idea. So sometimes you just have to take a chance on life and it sort of delivers, isn't it? Yes, so I was in marketing for about 23 years, I guess, now looking back. And it was something I fell into. I think a lot of people fall into their careers, don't they?
A lot of people fall into marketing as someone who did themselves, yes.
Exactly.
I don't think anyone grows up as a young child going, I want to sell stuff.
No, and I was selling mainly broadband. I don't think that was something when I was a child.
High on the list of jobs my son wants to do.
But, you know, it was a great career. And obviously with any career you have, if you're lucky enough to work with great teams and great companies, the actual core of your role is one thing, but the camaraderie that I had over the 23 years and the network I built, that was really important to me. And I think that's where my love of people came from. And it was a very creative industry. There's lots of communication, lots of chat, lots of inspiration all around you. And I think it developed that side of me, that kind of people side, the communication side. So after I had my two daughters, who are now 12, almost 12 and 7, I was a full-time corporate mum.
So you went back full time?
Yeah, so I was full time and I was doing that horrendous commute as pre-pandemic when trains were a thing. And I just remember once catching myself, it's that kind of sort of light bulb moment where we'd had the usual put your socks on, brush your teeth, where's your school bag stress of the morning, because I knew I had to get my train at a certain time, which meant I had to drop them off to school at a certain time, all of that kind of time constraints. I just remember getting on the train thinking, all I've done this morning is shout my kids, essentially, and then I'm going to work with a sort of anxiety and this tension already there to spend a day at work. I'm not even sure I want to be there, and then to come home at 6, whenever it was in those days, 6:30, pick them up from after school club, have to try and find some quality time with them when I'm knackered, they're knackered,
yes,
compressed, eat, homework, bed. And I just thought, this isn't right. That was something that just sort of, yeah, something just clicked, and I thought, oh, it gives me goosebumps thinking about
it. Does it?
Yeah, it does. Because it makes me remember the anxiety. And also, I think we all go through this, the guilt in that I should have been grateful for the job I had. I had a great job, you know, on paper, great job, good salary, secure, two lovely children, everything, you know, everything on paper is great, but there's this sense of dread, and is this the next 25 years of my life? You know, this cycle of shouting and anxiety, and then you sort of wake up one day and they've left home. You think, oh God, what happened there? So I just thought, that's right, something's got to give now, something's got to change. And I'd had coaching once already, actually, probably 10 years ago when my first child was born, because I already had a niggle. There's already something in me saying probably a different path might be the right one. So I had coaching a long time ago, and it obviously sowed a seed in my mind about making a change and how to make a change and how to go about thinking about making a change. Because it's a big, it's a daunting step when you leave something really secure to try something, potentially try something completely new.
Yes, it is. Hugely daunting.
So I had some more coaching.
And did you talk to your partner about this, partner in life?
Yep. So, and my husband's very supportive, hugely supportive. And we were both working, you know, and it was just that kind of, he wanted to help more, but he was in a busy, stressful job. So then he had the pressure of his employers sort of, and I think it is getting better now, but certainly sort of what, 10 years ago, from his point of view, for the father to say, I need to leave early to go and do pickup, it wasn't really a conversation.
I do think that's one of the things the pandemic has expedited. So has made it more acceptable for all of us to talk about our family or other commitments that we have outside of work. So between you, you decided that perhaps it wasn't for him to step back, and you had also got this sort of niggle anyway.
Exactly. And he loved his, you know, he still does. He loves his career, and that's great. I didn't. It was a bit of a hamster wheel of discontent.
Yeah.
So it wasn't something I really was desperate to pursue, because of course, if your career is, or the career you have, is really important to you. In fact, a client yesterday, one of my new clients, she has a 7-month-old son, and she said to me, I want to be a chief marketing officer. That is my absolute ambition. And then her guilt is, how am I going to make that work and be present for my son? And that's fine. Her vision and her objective, her goals, is to have a career that goes, you know, continues on in the marketing space. Mine wasn't. I didn't have that drive for it. So then I just sort of, again, as you do when you reflect, but what do I love about my job? What parts of my job do I love? What parts of my job do I never want to do again? And it always came back to the people. It always came back to, I love leading my teams. I love coaching my teams. I love just being there for people. I love just helping in any way I can. And another thing I looked at, which can be quite helpful, is what did people come to me for? It's quite often quite hard to think about our strengths. It can feel quite icky to sort of celebrate ourselves. So actually thinking, what do people come to ask me about generally? And I thought, actually, everyone comes to me all the time at work about all kinds of things, from work challenges, career challenges, to the personal life, all kinds of things. It's a sort of like slightly agony aunt role. So I thought, okay, what does that look like? And then I found out that apparently you can be paid to be a coach. You know, that's a career. and I didn't know, because I hadn't investigated it. So then I just did lots of due diligence, lots of research, spoke to a lot of coaches through work, so existing coaches with a lot of experience, and just said, what is this all about? What can I do with it? What kind of roles are there for me? Is it financially viable? Because, you know, with all these things, and again, it may not be a priority, but for me, I still had to earn an income. So I had to work out all the figures and make sure it was something I could pursue. Although I have to say, as you probably know, when you start your own business, you soon realise that no money comes in.
Yeah, I do. It's feast or famine. So I always tell people, yeah.
Yeah, so that was a bigger shock than I think I realised.
Yes, that's the thing. When you step off the, you know, well, you sort of follow your dreams. And I mean, it's really interesting, actually, the way you've explained it, Aisha, because I think, you know, if you put a kind of a romantic tint on it, it is about you following your heart, following your passions and so on. However, you've done it in a very pragmatic way, and you didn't just suddenly go, right, that's it, I've had enough, I'm leaving. And if you, you know, you talked about your passion for people, and I know we've spoken before, you studied languages at university, and, you know, that all of those things tend to lead to these kind of very people-focused careers. So this is the thing. I look back on my career and see, it feels a bit, when I talk about it, it might feel like it's a bit here, there and everywhere, but actually there is this common thread throughout it. And I think once you well, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but once I became a parent, priorities changed and what was important to me changed, and also was a little bit less willing to put up with the crap. And you realize that the time you have is so important, the time at work is so condensed, that you may as well be doing something that you love and enjoy. So it sounds as though that's the sort of process that you went through, albeit an iterative one.
Yeah. And I think iterative is the right word, because it has to be, as you say, you could jump ship and just change and do something completely different, but there is risk, obviously, with any of these sorts of choices, and it depends how much risk you're prepared to take on your shoulders and what other things like financial implications, you know, is that something real that you need to take risk analysis around? I couldn't take a huge risk. It had to be a measured risk. So I started my qualification actually while I was still working. Yeah, so I didn't just completely leave and start from scratch, but I was working, so I had my secure salary, could do my studying, which again, it was hard because I had to then put another layer of work into my life, but I knew why I was doing it. And I think that's the really important thing with all of these career change conversations and stories, is understanding why you want to do it in the first place. So not what you want necessarily. I think we all dwell too much on what and goal setting, which is very important, but actually, why do we want it in the first place? What's the real meaning behind why we want to make this change? And then we can work out how we get there. So I thought about the why first, and I knew why. It was to have a better work-life balance with my family. It was to feel like I was giving back more. It was to all of these various reasons. And then the how was study, research, toe in the water, and then eventually kind of hope, you know, phase out the marketing, go straight into my business, which I then did. So I think that's, you know, that's my approach, and it worked for me. Obviously, everyone has unique situations, and it can
be possible. Of course. And so how long have you been a coach now? How long?
So it has been two years. So I left corporate life 3 years ago, and then it took me a year of, I suppose, just working out how it was going to work and what I need to do, practicalities of running a business. So properly for 2 years. Yeah.
See, that's really interesting, because within the coaching world, you are relatively well known. I mean, I'm not saying the Brené Brown yet, but you know, I know just from talking to other coaches and so on, people know you. So you have built your personal brand around what you do, and obviously the podcast is very much yours, and that's another thing around, you know, your branding. I'm interested, for people listening to this thinking they want to make some sort of change, and often where we start, you know, we talked about this in the Facebook group, is that you start with almost a blank sheet of paper. I mean, you've given people some really good ideas about how to start thinking about what it is they might be good at, what do people come to them for, and so on. But from there, instead of articulating what it is you want in a new career or new role and so on, this idea of who you are as a person, or the personal brand, would you say you consciously develop a personal brand, or is it something that just comes because you know kind of inherently who you are now?
I think there's probably two sides to it. I think the first side is a lot of us lose our identity after having kids. Not lose it, it gets hidden away somewhere.
Yeah, you become Joe Bloggs' mum, or
yeah, exactly. You just become someone's mum. You get, you know, it's that photograph of the family, isn't it, where you're not in it, or just your hand is in the photo. You're the one taking the photo, or you're the one, you know.
Yeah.
You do lose your sense of self, I think, when you become a parent, because of obviously the other priorities come into play. Your needs, etc., get sort of pushed down maybe and forgotten for a while. So I think part of it anyway is just being a parent is re-establishing your identity just as a person, just as an individual, and reminding yourself who you were before you had kids. You know, when you're young and carefree and you had all of these dreams, etc., and aspirations, who were you then? What were those dreams? What drove you? What motivated you? And all sorts of things. So I think part of it, building that personal brand, is actually just getting back in touch with yourself and just saying, who am I actually as this new, as a working parent? You know, you can be a working parent and have a very strong identity as a working parent. Of course you can. So it's just about refinding that and being comfortable with what that new identity is. And then the second thing, I suppose, on that is that I assumed wrongly, because I had a long corporate career and I had a personal brand, at work. I don't think we actually label it, but we all have a personal brand. We all have an image that people see. You know, people perceive us in a certain way, whether that's through the style we operate in, whether it's through the type of language we use, whether it's through the relationships we form. We all have an image. We just don't really label it as such. So I think I assumed, because I had this long corporate career, that I would start coaching and everyone would go, oh, Aisha, a coach now, brilliant. I'm lining up outside the door, you know, for their coaching. And that didn't happen at all because I was starting from scratch. My brand was now different. I wasn't Aisha the marketer anymore. I was Aisha the coach, the career coach, the working parent coach.
That's really interesting.
Didn't exist before that. So actually, it was a big shock to realize.
Yeah. So you had to almost rebrand yourself, I suppose, if we're talking corporate language.
Yeah, and I was talking to different people now. Obviously, my marketing career, the conversations I was having or the connections I was making were different. Well, overlap, because of obviously lots of working parents in there, but I wasn't talking to them as working parents. I was talking to them as a marketer. So now I had to recreate that brand. But I think it was unconscious, if I'm honest. It started off unconsciously, definitely, as I tried to work out who I was now needing to connect with.
And how did you do that? How did you start? I mean, I suppose with interlinked within that is coming back to this idea of now marketing yourself, or, you know, selling with a soft sell. And so, as you say, you were doing one thing for somebody else, and now you're actually doing it for yourself. You are your own product. I guess, how did you do it, or what advice would you give to somebody who is about to start out, either on their own or looking for a new role and so on? How do you go about selling yourself?
The first thing is, marketing yourself is difficult. It is not the same as marketing a product, because it's obviously very, very personal. And therefore, anything that doesn't quite go your way can be quite... Oh, yeah, I took things very personally.
Yes, that's a really interesting point.
So it's about, for me, it was about, I suppose, having a thicker skin around that and thinking, you know, that I just need to, I'm putting myself out there now. This is, as you say, my product is me. And it's entirely me. There's nothing else. My coaching business is my name. I mean, everything. So now if you Google me, I come up, which is quite scary, because you're just putting yourself out there. And in this world we live in now, God knows what you might get back sometimes.
Yeah.
Luckily, I'm not famous enough yet. I have not had any trolls or anything yet, thankfully.
And also, I mean, I suppose we should just say for anyone listening who's maybe thinking of applying for a new role or changing careers, you're not likely to get trolled. It's more accepting perhaps rejection or knockbacks and things. You know, when you're applying for jobs, I know the members of the Facebook group, it can be so disheartening when you just get no's, or you get worse, you get absolutely no response at all. But I suppose that thing you're talking about, developing that thicker skin and digging deep and knowing who you are so that you can pick yourself back up again and keep trying.
Yeah, exactly. And so that point is all about building your resilience. It's all about building resilience. And that comes from so many different places. So absolutely understanding who you are and understanding your values and what you stand for gives you confidence to say no to things. It gives you confidence to choose the roles or to apply for the roles, for example, that you know are aligned to you. It gives you the confidence to, well, not the confidence so much, but if you do get a knockback, it gives you, I suppose, the ability to take that as a learning opportunity and say, right, okay, how am I going to take this and develop myself? How am I going to look at maybe what development areas I need to sort of concentrate on? So I think it gives you a bit of a sort of, helps you reframe things in a more positive way, if you're building that resilience over time. So then knockbacks just become an opportunity for you to learn from and move forward. So yes, whether you start your own business or going for new roles, you need to have that level of resilience to keep you moving forward. So yes, back to the sort of personal brand aspect, I think I knew one of the key things I knew I wanted was to work with working parents. That was my key driver when I started my business. So I think important point there is, who do you want to be working with? What is your message, who are your ideal clients, who are your ideal connections, and starting to work through that. And mine were definitely working parents. So it gave me already quite a clear point to start messaging. I think if I'd just been a coach, even just a career coach, it would have been much harder for me to know who I was talking to and what I wanted to say. So being very clear on who you're talking to was very important to that. And that then helps you build your brand, because then you create your messaging on that, you create your imagery around that. And then the podcast came from there. It came as part of the why. Why did I want to do a podcast? And it was actually, I just wanted to keep in touch with working parents. I wanted to create a community of working parents. I wanted to create better connections with working parents on a deeper level than I would have got through LinkedIn or Facebook or all these other kind of platforms. And I thought, if I can actually have fairly deep conversations with people one-on-one, then that ticks my box, my values box, of having proper, genuine connection with people. And that, again, and that, I suppose, personal brand emerged. And I think that's, again, something I'd say is sometimes just do it, just try something. And what's the worst that can happen? So I had no idea how to do a podcast. So just no experience whatsoever, zero. And I just thought, right, I'll find out how to do it technically. What do I need to do, record it on, etc. And then I asked my best friend to be my first guest, because I thought that means I'm in a safe space with her. I know I'll have a good conversation because she's my best friend. And it just means I can get out there and I can start it. And that was it. And then I just launched it with a couple of episodes, having no idea where it was going to go or how to market it or anything. And I fiddled around with it for months and months and months. And that was fine. I know, changed my brand colours about 25 times. And I think with all these things, if you just let it happen, just go with flow as much as possible and not set, I had no expectations, I had no plan, I had no strategy, I had no goal for how many listens I wanted or, you know, all that kind of thing. I just went with it, and as long as I was enjoying it, I knew that I was doing something right.
That's really interesting. So that is the key to it, isn't it? And I think that, you know, applies to whether you're starting any kind of project, that sort of learning, and we talked about at the start, you know, learning to trust who you are, learning to trust that intuition. If you're enjoying it, then what's to lose? If you're not enjoying it, then there's something not quite right. So see if you can change it.
Well, exactly. If you're not enjoying it, then why? Then why aren't you enjoying it? What parts of it are you not enjoying? And is there some kind of compromise or shift, or, you know, is it actually fundamental? You need to do something completely different. But at least starting to unpick those reasons why. So I was just enjoying it. I was loving doing it. And without the expectation, either set by myself or by anybody else, it was even more enjoyable. Because there's no pressure whatsoever. It was just do them and let's kind of see what happens. And then with all these things, you know, things snowball, things then gather momentum. And you get into a rhythm. I think that's the other thing to say also. You get into a habit and a rhythm of doing something. And then it becomes second nature. So I just was releasing a new episode every 2 weeks, and it became habit. I knew every Monday I was going to prepare my episode for the next day, and I still do that. Yeah, I don't even need to put it on a diary anymore. It's just in my head. I know that Monday is podcast day, and it just happens then. It just becomes this really natural rhythm and part of your sort of part of your life, really. It sort of weaves its way in really, really easily. And it's that consistency, which again, same with anything we try, is consistency. It's that consistency that kept it going. It's that consistency that has now allowed it to be in the top 10, which I still can't say out loud. Because I had no plan. I had no plan to get into the top 10 globally. I mean, that would have been a pipe dream a couple of years ago.
Yeah, so that, I think there are two things really, isn't there? There's one, the sort of the coaching thing, which is, you know, without a plan or without a kind of accountability, then it can be difficult to make change. But on the other hand, there's also this thing, as you say, that just creating these sort of regular, small, consistent actions, suddenly, if you keep on, keep on, keep on, and you're enjoying it, then you look back and you suddenly go, oh my God, wow, look where I am now.
Exactly. And I think we can set ourselves up for failure if we focus too much on the outcomes sometimes. You're absolutely right. We do need goals, and we do need accountability, and we do need a plan to get us from A to B. And obviously, as a coach, that's exactly what I would do with my clients. However, I think there is a risk where we get too hung up on the goal, and essentially then we don't enjoy the journey. Or we're looking too far ahead, saying, I must get there. It's like, okay, but just enjoy the process. So I think it's having that goal in your mind, but it's not getting hung up on it. It's allowing yourself to to make mistakes, to go a different way, to see what works for you, but to take those small, consistent steps. You're always moving forward, but you're enjoying the process. What's the phrase? You're smelling the roses, or whatever that phrase is.
As you go. Well, it's absolutely fantastic advice. We've covered so much, Aisha. Thank you very much indeed for your time. We'll put all the details in the show notes about how people can follow up with you and, of course, catch your podcast, The Parent Equation. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks to Aisha for her time today. Some really great advice there. If you struggle to put yourself out there and tell people that you're looking for work or you need some help of any kind, developing that thicker skin and picking yourself up again after the inevitable rejections when you're job hunting. But having the confidence to know who you are and what you stand for. And remember Aisha's mantra, just do it. What's the worst that can happen? If you are in need of some support, don't forget to check out our website, www.careeringintomotherhood.com. And of course, you can find an entire community of 9,000 supportive mums in our Facebook group of the same name. I'm Jane Johnson. Thanks for listening.